Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to line number two. And I tell you, I was worried and scared on Friday because one of my most reliable guests, Mr. Dorsey Hager, executive director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades, was not answering my calls. And I figured, well, they probably called him in on a job because there's a shortage of workers. Well, it turns out that he is recovering from what so many people are recovering from in the country today, and that would be COVID. Dorsey Hager, now you're okay now, right? What's the story here? Go ahead.
100%. I was, you know, like they say in baseball terms, I was day-to-day there for a minute, but aren't we all? And I'm off the disabled list. I'm ready to go. Put me in the lineup 100%. Won't hurt the team playing injured. I'm ready to be out there. So,
okay. Okay,
everything's good, but you're right. There's so many people I know in Cuyahoga County and in Franklin County that are fighting this thing as the positivity rates go up. And I had the unfortunate, I tested positive on Christmas Eve, which obviously didn't make the family very happy. So it was a very lonely holiday break for me.
Well, that's one gift that Santa didn't have to bring you. No doubt about that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh, my God. Well, that's good that you're okay. And I'll tell you, there's a big story in the Plain Dealer today about the possibility of a semiconductor chip factory happening in the Columbus area. I don't know what you know about this. I'm sure there's some buzz going on. Even Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, is not saying very much on this. But, Dorsey, what do you know? What are you hearing?
So, what it appears to me is about 6 months ago in the summer, I had a preliminary meeting with a couple people in Central Ohio, and they were talking about a large manufacturing plant coming to Central Ohio. We anticipated that was Amgen, which you and I have talked about on this show, which has broken ground already and is going full go. Amgen is a pharmaceutical company. They're going to do manufacturing and packaging. The first building is going to be around I think about $800 million, and there's some more buildings to come after that. But that's not what the meeting was about, obviously. It's about this potential chip plant. You know, there's a huge shortage of chips and microchips throughout the United States and North America. A lot of it has hampered some of our car production and some other things. So I think that the meeting was kind of preliminary about that last summer. And, you know, we've talked about this on your show. When we have these meetings, everything's real hush-hush because I'm sure they're looking at tax breaks, tax abatements, tax incentives. They're looking at other areas of the country where they can possibly build and do the work as well. And the two questions that they always have for us here in Columbus and Central Ohio is, do you have the people to build it, and do you have the people to maintain it once it's built? And obviously that answer is yes to both. As, you know, we have some of the most safe and skilled people here in the trades in Central Ohio. So I've got another follow-up call with some people at One Columbus today, my good friend Chip Holcomb over there at One Columbus. So hopefully I hope to find out more today and here in the very near future about it. But that would just go to our growing economy and our booming construction economy down here in Central Ohio. You know, so many projects you and I have talked about, Amgen, which we talked about, OSU Medical Center, the Hilton Tower, the North Market Tower. So there's a lot of, you know, plus all the Amazon, Facebook, Google, all that stuff going on, the data center work. So the future still continues to look bright here in Columbus and Central Ohio in 2022 and beyond.
That is so good to hear. So good to hear. Yeah, from what I'm reading, it's going to be a giant facility, and I believe they're working on one. I think they might have even sealed the deal in Texas on one. So I like that because, you know, the bottom line, too many of those jobs have left our shores. When you think about that, I mean, we're reliant on China and various parts of the world for these semiconductors, and that's got to stop. You bring them back here, we know we have the skilled labor, we can get it done. And this way we won't have the crazy shortage that we're dealing with right now. So that's really, really good news.
You're absolutely right. You know, we talk here in Central Ohio, and I talk to friends of mine and people who deal in different industries about the supply chain issue. And it, again, it goes back to, and I think we learned this 2 years ago at the beginning of the pandemic when we were looking for masks and safety supplies. We were having shortages. And guess what? Supply chain issues don't exist if you make things at home. Things that are made at home can't get stuck on cargo ships out in the Pacific. So,
Dorsey, if you don't mind, I want to change the subject a little bit. And one of the things we were supposed to talk about on Friday was Christmas Cares Union Shares. I just like the rhyme on that. Can you explain to our listeners what that was all about?
Yeah, so the Central Labor Council, the IBEW, the plumbers and pipe fitters, the great leadership by Kenny Davis, Pat Hook, Chris Vinnison, and the guys over. This goes way, way back. And like I said, the Central Labor Council and Mark Fluharty going all the way back to Walt Workman. What we do is we volunteer with St. Stephen's. It's a nonprofit here on the near northeast side of Columbus. And we spend a weekend before Christmas with them. And we work close with the Kroger Company and obviously other people that donate food and items and stuff like that. And it's turkeys, it's staples, you know, it's food staples. And any family that's in need, and it's all drive up now, obviously, because of COVID, but they can drive up, they can get some of these items so that they can have a good Christmas dinner, but also not a good, healthy, warm meal on Christmas Day, but also enough food to last them throughout the week as they spend time with family and stuff. And just, you know, one of the many things that we do, especially members of organized labor, to get together to work with people in the community who maybe aren't as fortunate as many others, or maybe have been left behind a little bit, and try to do what we can to help them out so that way they can have an enjoyable Christmas as well. So it's a great program. Like I said, Mark Fluharty, Kenny Davis, Pat Hook, Chris Evans, the IBEW guys, plumbers and pipe fitters here locally, the Central Labor Council, they all do a heck of a job getting all the food donated, all the food packaged, all the food wrapped, and then setting up everything so that way that we can get that dispersed. Another shout out goes to our Franklin County Sheriff, Dallas Baldwin. A lot of his deputies volunteer their time up there to make sure there's no issues with traffic, everything moves smoothly, and everybody gets in there and gets out of there in a timely fashion. But it's a really busy weekend. Usually falls on a cold, wet, and rainy weekend, as we have a lot of those here in Central Ohio that time of year. But everybody does a great job. IBEW gets a lot of apprentices to volunteer. There's a lot of people in the community that volunteer as well. So it's just a great thing that that we do every year, and it's very successful.
And much needed, I might add. You also wanted to talk about a labor education series. I'd like to hear what that entailed.
Yeah, so John Wentz, who's a labor attorney here in town, and Sarah Ingalls, and I know John's been on your show in the past. He was so instrumental in helping us getting the wage theft ordinance. You know, Sarah Ingalls sits on Franklin County Democratic Central Committee. We also have members of labor that sit on the Central Committee as well. And one of the things that they've talked about the last couple of years is that electeds on both sides of the aisle, and also staffers and people that work in their offices, you know, they know the importance of organized labor, but they may not understand the importance of organized labor and the role that they play in the community. So John and myself, Mark Fluharty from the Central Labor Council, and Sarah Ingalls, sat down about 6 months ago and started developing a curriculum for some of these labor education classes. And they're going to be held quarterly throughout this year, and we're going to cover all facets of organized labor as it pertains to Central Labor Council unions and public sector unions, but also the building trades unions. Started off, we had our first class right before Christmas, as well attended, a lot of electeds, a lot of staffers from City Hall, and we started off with just the basics. We talked about right to work. We talked about the importance of not being a right to work state. We talked about some of the things that organized labor does to work with the legislature to educate them on right to work and how harmful it is to the state. And then we segue into some other things, get a little bit deeper and talk about prevailing wage, talk about how, you know, unions uplift a lot of people, specifically people of color and females. You know, this is tried and true. When people of color or when females belong to a labor union, their wages and benefits, just like everybody else, are obviously much higher. So it was a great class. We took about an hour, hour and a half. We were really, really impressed with how engaged everybody was, the questions that were asked, the comments that were made, and everything. So I think John and Sarah and Mark did a great job, and it was really good, and it was interesting to have, and it was nice to have a lot of those people in that setting where we could educate them on some of the important things, and hopefully they take that back to their jobs, to City Hall and stuff, and they understand that when they're dealing with some of these issues or some of these things that are coming before them, how important the role that organized labor plays in all of it to help uplift everybody in the community.
Well, it sounds like something they need to teach in high school, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I can remember going back to high school when we took civics and government and stuff. They talked about, you know, the importance of unions and the coal miners' strike and all that stuff. And I don't think a lot of that stuff gets talked about anymore, which is really sad. But the curriculum we're developing is really good. It's very thought out. It's very useful. It's very practical. And we're also working to market it as well, be able to put it online so that way people can revisit it. But we heard nothing but good things about it, and it was very interesting. And especially, you know, like I said, we have a lot of electeds and staffers, and I know you and I talked about this a few years ago after the 2016 election. You know, in right-to-work states across the country, Democrats are put at a six-point disadvantage in elected office and in the elections on all levels, whether it's school board, whether it's a township trustee, whether, you know, whatever. So if you think about the 2016 election, you know, Hillary Clinton lost that election by 82,000 votes across three states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And two things that happened that had a great effect on that election between 2012 and 2016 was Michigan and Wisconsin both went right to work. So you think of how razor thin and how close those elections were and what a different outcome it would have been if we could have protected right to work in those two states. And when you start talking about those things with a lot of these electeds and a lot of these staffers, you know, that really hits home and they understand that.
I tell you, I'm real excited. You keep me posted on all the players on that, and maybe we'll get some here on the show to talk more about the labor education series. I tell you, you can't talk about that enough. You can't do enough on that. So good stuff there. Good to hear. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line, columbusconstruction.org, Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH. Kind of an abbreviated version. We'll do more next month. Okay, my brother?
All right. Sounds good. Let's forge ahead and get through January and all this cold and snowy weather and hopefully come out on the bright side here in early February when we talk again.
Amen, brother.